First of all, we give honor to the Most High and to His Son, Yahshua. We thank God for the scriptures, for the scriptures cannot be broken. And in the scriptures, we're going to read from John chapter 3, and we'll just start at verse 3. And we're talking about a young man named Nicodemus, which was a Pharisee, who came to Jesus at night, and he wanted to know. He said, "I know you must be from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with you." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Hallelujah with that one. We want to talk about a man who was a Pharisee. He's a man that they called Saul, but his name got changed to Paul. He was an awesome, wrote most of the New Testament, but was on his way to Damascus. And what I like about Mr. Saul at the particular time is that he was a smart man. He knew how to get letters and get everything ready to persecute anyone that he found walking in the way. And when we say in the way, we find in John chapter 14 that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." And so when he's talking about walking in the way, he's talking about people who were walking after Christ. And so he had letters, and he's on his way to Damascus to get these people and put them in jail. Man, woman, or child, it didn't really matter. He had a mission to destroy the church. And on his way, the scripture says in Acts chapter 9, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings, the slaughter against disciples of the Lord, he went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shined round about him from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he says, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said unto him, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what would thou have me to do?' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.'" Wow. Can you imagine? What's your testimony? Where did the Lord find you? Well, it goes back to many years ago where the Lord found me. And my first revelation happened in May of 1997. And how this must be born again thing, can a man enter to his mother's womb a second time? Well, actually, that's an answer is no. We know we can't be born again through our mother's womb. But he goes on to talk about in John also, he said, the wind blows where it listens. So he's talking about something different. He said, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. So we have a fleshly born when we come out and we're in the water for some meaning, just gestation period, then we're born. But then there's another one, and there's a spiritual birth where the wind blows. You don't see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. I live out here in the Antelope Valley, and I tell you, sometimes the wind really blows. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. But 21 years ago in my life, it was something similar to Saul's. I guess I was breathing threats at the church, but in a different way. I called myself a Christian, but I don't think I was a very good Christian. I drank a lot. I smoked a lot, and I enjoyed cocaine a lot. And my usage started at an early age when a seed was put in and planted by someone who I thought was my friend at the time. And I started smoking cocaine, freebasing back at the time. And those of you who've been out in the world kind of understand where I'm going and where I've been. Amen. But in May, I was in the midst of partying with my friends in the backyard, and I got touched by the Lord. And I began to cry, and everybody said, oh, he's drunk. And I said, I'm not drunk. What you mean I'm not drunk? And I began to prophesy, not even understanding these spiritual things that were happening to me. But then it took me some months, and I was searching. But that touch began to cause me to search, and I was searching. I didn't really know what I was looking for, didn't know how I was going to find. I would go to somebody, and I would talk, and I would listen to them for a moment. And then I said, that's not what I'm looking for, and I keep going. And so from May to November, my brother-in-law, we were riding through Angeles Crest. And at this particular time, he was backslidden also. And he said, he's not supposed to tell me this, but he said, you need the Holy Ghost. And I said, what's the Holy Ghost? He said, it's like a booyah. And I said, I know what that is. And he says, won't you come and go to my church? And so that particular Sunday, I went out to a little church called Word of Life here in Palmdale. Elder Ross is the bishop now. And I went to church and I listened to the message and felt like church. But the only thing different this particular day is I heard these people speaking in another language, which I now know is called tongues. And so I left kind of confused a little bit because I didn't know what it was, never heard it before. And so I went to my neighbor's house and I said, his name was Mike, and he was the worship leader at a church out in Lancaster. I said, Mike, what's this tongues thing? And he said, well, Tom, he says, my whole family, we're all spirit-filled and we all speak in tongues. He said, won't you come in? And so we began to worship in his living room, and I got a manifestation of tongues. And still, okay, I left out of the house. I was kind of happy and didn't still, no one really explained to me what the tongue thing was. And so I went on, and then as soon as I come out of his house, the devil is real busy. The dope man drives up. He drives up and he's got a new package. He says, hey, man, I got some new stuff in here. You want to try it? I said, man, I ain't got no money. He gives it to me for free. Ha! What do you think about that? So that night, I smoked probably about an 8-ball. And those of you know, that's a pretty good little quantity. And I didn't get high this time. Didn't understand why I didn't get high. But then there was a longing in my heart to understand more about this tongues things. The scripture goes on to say that, what must we do to be saved? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, on the big day that Pentecost happened, and Peter, when he was fired up and filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so I went back to that church, and that particular night, they were talking about, how long did you receive the Holy Ghost after you got baptized? And in my mind, I'm thinking, the Spirit is leading me. He says, why did you get baptized? And I'm really thinking, and I can't in nowhere find it in my heart. And all of a sudden, it popped up. Your mom told you to get baptized. It was never my own choice. And then as I thought it, this lady, she nudged me, said, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, I said, well, can we do it tonight? Because I want everything that God has for me. And so to make a long story short, I thank God that the pastor was willing to not do it on first Sunday, but he did it right then when the Spirit was stirred, and he baptized me that Wednesday night in the name of the Lord Jesus. They took me in a little room, and I don't know, and to this day, I still don't know what happened, but an hour and a half had passed that I was in this room, and I was speaking in another language. And in that time, the manifestation of that wind blowing, of the where it winds or where it comes from, you don't know, but I was changed. And the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I came out of the room not realizing what had happened. People were smiling. Praise God, brother, you got it, you got it, you got it. And I went home. And I just immediately began to empty my cupboards. And I always had the best alcohol, the best dope, anything my friends would come by, would always come by and party with me. Everything went down the drain, poured everything down the drain. And I began to seek hard after the Lord. And the real thing that is really powerful about it is that the scripture says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. And that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And you shall be a witness to me, the Lord says, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the world. And here we are in the uttermost parts of the world, and the manifestation of the scripture is manifesting in me. Can you believe that? Little bitty little chocolate boy from Pacoima. All of a sudden, he's got power. I still don't understand it, but I have to be taught. But believe me, I begin to tell people about Jesus. I was telling my friends, y'all going to hell. And they were saying, how can you tell me we going to hell and you was just drinking with us last week? Hallelujah. Tell me the Lord ain't good. He's good, 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 and then some. But that was my experience, and I don't know what yours are. I don't even know where you might be right now, and you might be looking for this power. And it's real simple. Sometimes people and religion make things very hard. But in Luke's gospel, in chapter 11, he's doing the Lord's Prayer, and his disciples say, man, Lord, teach us to pray as John always to pray. And he teaches them how to pray. But then he goes on and he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give them the Holy Ghost that ask? And so it's a simple thing. If you haven't had it, then all you have to do is ask for it. What? All you got to do is ask for it. All you got to do is ask for it. And what makes things so cool is everywhere you go, it's always the truth. You don't never have to lie. You don't have to make up about it. How did you receive the Lord? Well, I was walking on straight street like Paul or Saul when my name was changed. Amen. And something happened. I didn't get the big light, but I got a manifestation of something I didn't understand. I couldn't see it, but everybody else began to see it. In my household, my wife knew that I wasn't the same man that she was married to, and it began to bug her. My mother knew that I wasn't the same son she gave birth to. Actually, she thought that I was in a cult. And everybody around me began to just dissipate from me. All my friends who I thought were my friends, because the light was so bright. The light was shining in me, and it was convicting other people of their sins. I'll tell you, God is a good God, but today we still need the power of the Holy Ghost in the church. And I think so many of us are living in the flesh, and we're not living in the spirit. The Bible continues to tell us if we live after the flesh, we will die. I want you to think about it for a minute. We will die. The book of Galatians lets out the flesh really, really quick. So you ought to read chapter 5 of Galatians, because it lays it out so much. What is the flesh versus the fruit of the spirit? Amen. And we need to have love, joy, and kindness, be very temperate and so forth, and self-control. Those are the fruits and the manifestation of God's spirit in our life. But then God just does miraculous things through different people. When he met Nicodemus, Nicodemus came to him at night because he was a Jewish leader and he didn't want to be exposed by all of his friends. Paul was on the road where he met me. And myself, I was just walking and I was looking for something. I was sick and tired of being tired. I was empty. And really, most people didn't know I was on the verge of suicide. And God knew. And I thank God that he had enough love and kindness and saw me, and he knew the point when I was ready to break, and he caught me at that time and picked me up out of a dirty place and rubbed me up, scrubbed me up, and presented me. Am I perfect now? Nah, my brother, I still got a lot of mistakes, but you know what I think? I know that I got a loving God that said he'll never leave me or forsake me. I got a God who understands me. Scripture says that he knows everything about me. He said that even the very hairs on my head are numbered. Amen. He knows my thoughts before I think them. There's not a word on my tongue that he knows altogether. Who would not want to worship a wonderful and awesome God as this? And it don't matter where you're at. Like I said, I talked to Melvin a little bit earlier. His conversion came in the garage after he was sick and tired of being tired, and he saw a light. Everybody have a different way that God comes to them, so it's not always the same way, but I believe that he's calling out to a generation right now. And I don't know if you're hurting or where you're at, but it's real simple, man. All you have to do is just invite him into your heart. He already knows what you want to do. The Bible says, if we confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The scripture goes on to say that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. It's that simple, my brothers and sisters. No matter where you've been, no matter what you want, and you haven't done anything too bad, that he won't love you, because he already knows about you. Amen.
Amen, my brother. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, you call on the Lord and you call on the Lord and he just hasn't touched me yet. Well, I know I went through those changes where sometimes I would get myself in a situation where I thought it was too much for me to handle, so I would call on my Lord. But as soon as he gave it back to me, gave me some control, gave me some relief, gave me some comfort, then I would take it back. So I wasn't really asking the Lord to come into my life. I just wanted him to change my life for that moment, to give me some power to control my life at that moment.
It's interesting. Many of us only use him as a lifesaver. When we're in trouble, we call on him, and we really don't want to make the commitment. Many churchgoers today are only there just for a moment when they're in trouble. I remember when 9/11 happened, the churches were filled because we were in trouble. And so everybody came, but so very quickly, they dissipated and went back to what they were doing, their normality of life. Just recently, the earth shook, and people began to say, whoa, it's the end of the world. Well, no, sometimes God allows things in the earth to shake us up, to get us our attention, to try to get us to come to him. But the scripture says he draws us with an everlasting love. And I think every day, Melvin, as I found out that he was always there waiting for me, and I would always just look past him and go to something else. And then one day, like I said, I remember when I fired up the last joint, he asked me a question. He says, Thomas, am I not enough? And I said, yes, Lord. And it broke my heart. And now I'm still learning. I don't know about you, Melvin, but I'm still learning to trust God. Matter of fact, last Sunday was the message that the Lord gave me. Do you trust God? And I think all of us struggle with trusting until the relationship becomes better and better. And I think religion gives you one thing, but a relationship gives you another. And as you spend time in his word, as you spend time in prayer and just fellowshipping with him, because you can go any place, and that's what I really like. I can talk to him any place, anytime, because he's always there. He's always there, and he's always ready to listen. I thank God that the scripture says in Hebrews that we can come boldly to the throne of God, for we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with our feelings and emotions, amen, but in all ways was tempted just like we was, but did not sin. And so Jesus is just always there. Actually, even when he was born, Luke's gospel said that he shall be called Emmanuel. And what that means is God is with us. He's not against us anymore. God is with us. He's in us. He's inside of us. Melvin and I were talking just a little bit earlier, and he talked about being in the Salvation Army. And people says, well, I don't know where God is. I can't see him. And he said he stood up. He says, God is right here with us. And the revelation of that is just so powerful, that he's always with us. He's with us. Asking so many times, the scripture says that he knocks on the door of each and everybody's heart. He's looking, but the funny thing is the little doorknob is on your inside, and you have to open the door. He said, if any man would open the door, he said that he would come in and sup with him. Oh, man, who would not want to worship a God like that? Let me tell you, people, he has just been so good to me. I can't even imagine. Yes, I'm an assistant pastor, but yes, most of my time, I'm a construction worker. I'm in the heat. I'm working out in the degrees, and I meet people every day. And it's so overwhelming to me that God would give me an opportunity to share that testimony. Remember that scripture, Acts 1:8, and you shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and here we are in the uttermost parts of the world. And I can share my faith. I'm always, he said, I'll make you fishermen of men. Amen. Because I don't like fishing, but I don't mind fishing for men. Amen. How about you, Melvin?
Well, I like fishing, and I like fishing for men, especially with God's word. It makes it so pleasant, so beautiful, so wonderful in my life when you can see someone else be converted, someone else come and get in touch with the Lord and begin to have a fruitful life instead of a life that is hurting and full of pain and worry and stress and strain and darkness. My brother, I want to thank you for coming into the studio today and sharing the word of the Lord with us.
Thank you also, Melvin, for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
You know, sometimes there's somebody out there listening that just needs the word. And the word has to come from the right voice, the right personality, the right level of the spirit. And sometimes you don't know who you're touching, but I'm sure you touched someone today.
Amen.